Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, that's quite the delay on their advertising.
A little bit.
All right, welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can go to Facebook, go to the search bar, type in the Matthew Aaron Show. Oh, Luisi has a microphone today. That's dangerous. you type in the Matthew Aaron Show, you click like, and then you can follow all our nonsense. What else are we on? Stitcher. We got videos on YouTube that you may want to check out. I don't know. It's like shorter versions of the show on YouTube. So if I were you, I'd just go to YouTube. That's where anything really matters.
Yeah, you get the highlights.
Yeah, you get the highlights. You get less Lee and more show. No, I'm just kidding. We love Lee. But I don't know where the fuck he is. You can't hear yourself? Uh-oh, we got a problem, Mike. You can't hear himself.
I can't hear anything.
Plug it into another one. Try a different one. Maybe it's just that one jack. Okay. Okay, here we go. Yeah, just reach. There we go. Now can you hear yourself?
Yep.
All right, there we are. See, it was just that one jack. What else are we on? What else? Caesar! What should I plug?
Hi, Caesar.
Marconi. What do I plug? I don't know how to do this show anymore. It was funny. Luisi goes, who's on the show today? I go, I just show up.
Well,
I don't know.
Here,
Zoe Bell.
Here.
Zoe Bell from Raze, and you may know her from Django Unchained, and we'll talk about Kill Bill 1 and 2, and she was Lucy Lawless's stunt double forever, so we got tons of Lucy Lawless questions to ask, I'm sure. Mikey's a big fan.
I don't have any.
Come on! You love Lucy.
I do love Lucy.
You know how much trouble I got into for saying she drinks?
Yeah.
You remember, because you had to call her.
She was great.
Oh, you've never told this story on the air, have you?
What story?
About how I had to have you call Lucy Lawless because her people were so mad at me.
That may have happened.
Yeah, so here's what happened. One day on the show, I was just talking about Lucy Lawless and how much I love her. I didn't say anything bad. And I go, you know, we did the pilot, and she got a little fucking toasted afterwards, you know, had a few drinks, and she was a riot. And I jokingly said, I think that she drinks a lot or something. I don't know. It was a joke. It was very obvious, too. And I was talking about what a fun broad she is. Her publicist heard it and flipped the fuck out on me. So then I call Mikey and I go, Mikey, you're tight with Lucy. Give her a buzz for me, would you? And tell her I love her and send my regards and tell her I'm sorry for saying she drinks. Because I'm sure she gave a fuck, which she didn't.
Well.
So what happened?
Lucy's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Lucy's all class, and that's, you know, she's
so what happened? You called her up?
Yeah, I called her. We chick-chatted. She was all right. She was having a good time.
She didn't even know about it.
At the end of the day, she's like, whatever. That's what publicists get paid for.
Oh, they get paid to chew me out for saying she drinks?
No, they get paid to protect somebody's reputation.
Oh, well, her reputation's stellar.
Yeah, no, she's great.
Yeah, she's great. By the way, I added to her stellar reputation. All I kept saying was how great she was.
Hey,
she's one of the best things in the pilot. She's
no,
amazing.
I had so much fun with her. She was a great time.
Yeah, I don't even understand.
Very entertaining. I think her being Xena just really like she could have been so much more of like an.
Listen,
you know,
I get a publicist's job. I get it. I respect it. I understand it. Whatever, but. Pick on somebody else, please. I just don't like being the guy that they fight with all the time.
I look at it this way.
Find someone else to yell at.
If you get pulled over for speeding and they give you a speeding ticket,
yeah.
I mean, even though the mayor probably wouldn't have given you a speeding ticket, I mean, that's what he hired the police for. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, that's true. What else is going on today? This is the first. No, I've seen Luisi since I've been back. I saw you at Grotto.
Yes, the Grotto.
But you haven't been on the show in forever.
Nope.
Did you tell him?
He knows.
Tell him what?
You know.
Oh, he finally told you?
Yeah.
You told him?
I told him.
Yeah, when I first found out, I'm like, you're joking. Because I thought it was the other one.
I wasn't supposed to tell anybody.
So I told
now
him.
You're being a blabbermouth about your
listen,
thing?
Listen.
Tell him the fact.
But think about
him.
My reaction.
I wanted to tell
when
him.
When he first told me, I'm like, you did it what with who? I was ready to reach over to the table and punch him. And I'm like, you're joking. He's like, no, the other one.
Are you allowed to talk about it on the show?
Well,
everyone knows about it now, right?
Does Vito listen?
No, Vito knows.
Oh, he knows. Vito knows.
I
do you want to make your announcement? Go ahead.
I could see. Hold on.
I can make it.
I can just throw this out real quick. He tells me, I'm going to go, so let me guess. When she told you, did you look at her and go, everything's going to be okay. My dad is Vito Luisi.
For those listening at home, congratulations to Alex Luisi for knocking up Megan 1.2. 2.0? Well, 1.2 may be more accurate. I don't know this broad yet. No, because that's Steffi's fridge. All Steffi does is drink. Oh, wait, Steffi's publicist is calling me. I'm in trouble. Beer. Oh, is it?
Grab me one.
Oh, a couple old styles to go around, huh?
Beautiful.
Yeah, I just need
Mikey, just don't burp in my direction, would you?
Do I look like a hairy Greek?
I don't want to smell none of that polaca. So congratulations, Megan 2.0 and Alex officially knocked up.
Thank you. 15 weeks.
15 weeks, and you've been dating 15 weeks in a day. So that's great. That's fantastic. Go smooth.
She must really like him.
Or she's like fucked.
No, she's a sweetheart.
So what's been going on with that? Everything's good?
Everything's good. Bid on the house.
Bid on that. Is that going to affect my movie?
It will not affect your movie.
Okay, continue. This is fine. Go on.
Everything will go as planned.
Go on. I'm sorry that my first thought was about my film. It was really about me and then my film, but continue.
If we need a baby in the movie, we'll have one in June. So June 7th.
Yeah, we'll be done film. I'll be done editing by June.
Get it in there.
The next move. Okay. We'll give your kid a little something.
Yeah, it'll be like a Baby's Day Out 3.
Yeah, right. I can get Montaigne to reprise this role as a bad guy.
I'm happy for the movie coming up. It should be. So am I.
If I have more time to work on it, for fuck's sake.
Glad you're back. And
I have a feeling that your deadline might slowly but surely be moved back.
No, I don't have a choice. I got to keep up with everything. It's hard. I mean, Pat Wimp, our DP for the film, is doing the budgeting and scheduling right now for me, which is like a godsend considering it's not his job. And, there's Lee. And then,
we're drinking your beer.
And then, what was I going to say? What were we talking about?
The DP.
DP, yeah. So Pat's doing the scheduling and budgeting, which isn't his job, so I'm very grateful of that. And then, I got this other thing I got to write now, and then we got Dine and Dash going on, and it's a little hectic.
That's good.
Or as Chucky likes to say, I do nothing all day. Very nice. Very kind, Charlie.
You do go to the gym a lot.
I got to, for the movie. It's
Chuck,
work.
Chuck doesn't do anything.
Trust me. If I wasn't in the movie, I wouldn't be going to the gym twice a day. I don't like it that much.
I call bullshit on that.
No, I like the gym enough 45 minutes a day.
Mm.
Two hours plus a day is a little...
If it's any consolation, I'd probably go to the gym twice a day if I could.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Caesar wants to know if Alex Luisi is blocking him on Facebook. No.
Luisi doesn't have a Facebook.
Caesar really thought you were sour on him for some reason. What'd he do to you? What'd Marconi do to you?
Nothing.
Nothing?
He's done nothing to me.
So I'm gonna delete Marconi as a friend, and then I'm gonna tell him that I deleted my Facebook.
Well, you just
too.
Told him. He's listening. You just told him.
I know. I'm fucking with you.
I tell him my secrets. I have not been on Facebook for a year, and I feel good about it.
It's not been a year.
It's been a year.
You're so full
I
of
swear.
Shit.
Well, remember, he's like a cat.
I know.
Every year is like 9 days.
I know. So, wait, it's really been like 8 months, I think. It was like over the summer you got rid of
Facebook.
Yeah,
because I remember when you were posting all those pictures of you doing like Tai Bo on the Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, it was over summer.
I don't know what you're talking
you
about.
You got rid of it. I know exactly when you got rid of Facebook. When did you break up with Megan 1.0? Last April, May, that was when you got rid of Facebook. Correct?
That is correct.
Correct, because you didn't want to look at Megan's Facebook no more.
Wow.
Is that why?
They know more about my life than I do.
I knew it. Well, Caesar wanted to know why I got rid of the Facebook, and I think I just explained it.
I think that was a very...
Why didn't you just block her? And then keep the Facebook?
Nah, it's just, I like
you don't
face.
Even have to block her. You could have just... Put that
ignore
setting on where
hide
you,
her.
Yeah, you put
hide
that,
all.
Right. Then she doesn't even know that you're not friends with her anymore. She just thinks you're still friends.
Yeah.
And,
I talked about this on Facebook last night. I made a post that said, don't we do, like, when we like somebody, but we don't want them to hate us, so we don't unfriend them, so we hide all because we get so angry at them all the time. Like Nikki I. I got to hide all sometimes.
I had Facebook withdrawals for like 3 months.
Am I wrong? Listen, I if Nikki I hears this, I unhid him, but when he broke up with his girlfriend like, what was it, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I had to hide all for a while. I'm going to kill myself statuses. I had to hide all.
You know what I do? I just go to that person's page and I take them out of my news feed.
Oh, yeah? Oh, by the way, Steve Weirich wants people to know he is friends with your ex-girlfriend on the LinkedIn. Here's what I want to know. Why are Steve Weirich and Megan on LinkedIn?
What is it?
Isn't that for people with like careers?
I want to know what her LinkedIn page
says. Yeah.
Megan? Oh, okay.
So wait.
Why is Megan on LinkedIn?
Is Megan on LinkedIn as a head bartender?
Yeah,
and,
or babysitter
or whatever.
Do they have a babysitting cult on LinkedIn?
My resume: 3.5 months at B Dubs.
Yeah, right.
Come on, be nice.
We are being nice.
I know you are.
I didn't know they had babysitting on LinkedIn.
That's them being nice.
Yeah, right. Dog sitting on LinkedIn.
Maybe she'll go to networking events, pick up new clients.
I mean, I understand why Weirich's on LinkedIn. He gets all those odd jobs of his. I've never met someone, by the way, who has more odd jobs than Steve Weirich on the planet.
Steve, by the way, if you endorse me one more time on LinkedIn.
Did he endorse you on it?
I'm going to kick you in the balls.
What the fuck is LinkedIn? I'm not even on it.
You should be.
You should be.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
Yes.
Why?
It's kind of a big deal.
What?
It's like getting a job.
You're on LinkedIn?
Yeah, he's on.
Has it helped you at all?
It's good.
Well, that doesn't answer my question. Has it helped you at all?
It's a professional website for professionals.
It's a nice website.
All right. What has LinkedIn done for you? Because last time
Listen. It gives you there's different levels of LinkedIn. The free LinkedIn is about networking. You can get into a pay version where they will optimize your resume. You can post a resume on there, and if potential employers are looking for somebody, they can go on LinkedIn, search through a bunch of resumes. LinkedIn will suggest some resumes of possible candidates that could be good for the position based on their job history. And, I mean, it can be a useful tool. There are people who can get job offers.
I would never
LinkedIn.
Use it. Caesar's it right. Like Caesar said I would never use it, and he's right.
It sounds like something for headhunters. We call
him. We're going to call Steve Weirich. I want to know what he does on LinkedIn.
You should go on LinkedIn. It's a good place for people in the industry to find you.
Yeah, I know, but Steve, I mean, Caesar's kind of right.
People in the industry have no trouble finding him.
Wait.
No shit.
Hello.
Steve.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
All right. Tell me about LinkedIn, pal.
Oh, I can tell you all about it. What would you like to know?
What's your title on LinkedIn?
What do you do on LinkedIn, and why should I be on or not be on LinkedIn?
You shouldn't be on it. You don't need to be on it. Okay. I'm telling you right now, you don't need to be on it. LinkedIn is like the the real me where I'm really filthy and inappropriate and shit like that?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
LinkedIn is me being polite and filtered and professional. It's just a professional Facebook. That's all it is.
Oh,
and you list your work.
Are you saying Facebook is unprofessional?
Yeah, right. I'm not professional enough for LinkedIn.
Steve, are we not
Yes.
Are we not friends on LinkedIn?
Who am I talking to?
It's Mikey. It's Mikey Terzo.
Mikey Terzo. No, I'm not friends with you on LinkedIn, but I would love to connect. That's what they do. They connect. I would love to connect.
This is very important. I need you to listen. I need you to find me and friend me, and then let me know your profile pictures and ego.
I absolutely will, Mikey. No, I just was accepted by this agent.
Seriously.
This agent from William Morris just accepted me on the LinkedIn, and I'm trying to work that. I'm trying to figure out what to do with this woman.
Do you endorse him for like 100 things and try to butter him up?
You endorse the people and you tickle their taint on the internet, and it's really beautiful. It's great.
You know what I love about the endorsing? When you endorse somebody for something that has nothing to do with their career.
What does that mean, endorse?
Well, you could so they'll have a list of skill sets, and you could endorse a person. Like if you were on LinkedIn, I could be like, I've endorsed Matthew Aaron for sales, or I've endorsed Matthew Aaron for project management. But the great
or
thing
Matthew Aaron for ball tickling. We've endorsed you for that, too.
No, but the best thing to do is you endorse somebody you've never met before for something that has nothing to do with their industry or, like, job history. And it's, like, such an obvious
thing.
So
it's kind of like walking up to a girl you don't know.
You know who's on there who's really who endorses me all the time is Julia. Julia will make things up that I didn't even know I could list. That's what Julia does for me all the time.
Why am I not friends with Julia Gray on the LinkedIn? I have
look for Miss McCrabass. I'm sure that's what she's under. She uses her real name. But I got an email this morning that said she endorsed me for some bullshit. It was great.
I've never had as many fun conversations about cats as I have with her on
oh,
Facebook.
Yeah? Steve, have you gotten any jobs off of LinkedIn?
Take that as a no.
No, I was close once, but no.
All right, let me ask a better question to you, Mikey and Alex, who are actually on LinkedIn.
I got to tell you one thing that's going to really make you guys shake your head and wonder why you might want to drink after this. I've gotten more jobs off of Craigslist than LinkedIn. Just putting that out there.
You've had more jobs off of Craigslist than LinkIn. Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Time out, Mr. Whoa. I have a question for you three, Alex, Steve, and Mikey, who use LinkedIn, and Caesar can answer as well since he's on the LinkedIn, and Pat Tobias.
Well,
of the five of you, what has been the total amount of earnings you've made off of LinkedIn?
I was just going to say, those guys all have jobs, Caesar, Tobias.
And you didn't get your job through LinkedIn, Mikey. And Alex did not get his job through LinkedIn.
Steve, if you got one.
Steve has yet to get a job through LinkedIn.
No. I got my PA gig through Kraft Productions on Craigslist in their gig section.
Yeah, but you got to remember what I told you is if you want to get jobs, but you got to get to the LinkedIn that you pay for.
I don't do the pay. I'm not a whore. I'm not gonna pay.
So come on. So it's like OK Cupid. You got to pay
That get laid. Yeah, right.
I just explained that to you a couple minutes ago.
Right.
That's where they'll actually take your resume. You can upload your resume.
Oh, this is how that process works.
Right.
Right.
And
how much?
It's like $15 a year or something like that.
Oh, really?
To break the bank. Come on.
Hey.
It's like sex. Why pay for something that you can get for free? If you work hard enough, you can get for free. Don't pay for the premium. Work hard at it. You'll get it for free. It's like sex. Come on.
Thank you, Tony Robbins.
I'm not gonna prostitute myself on the LinkedIn. Come on.
There's other places you could prostitute yourself.
Yeah. Just Belmont and Clark is a good spot.
Oh, what are you going to
I was going to say, where are you prostituting yourself on Belmont and Clark?
He's hitting up the Berlin.
Come on.
Yes, tequila.
Actually, Spin is a block away. Don't worry.
Are you going to the shower night over at Spin, the shower dance party?
Oh, that's filthy. I saw posters for that. I want to know where the heterosexual shower night is at the bar.
Yeah, they don't have those at the heterosexual bar.
No, I think that was Starship Troopers.
Yeah, right.
Are you going to go to Lunk Night at Hydrate on Friday?
Me? No. But there's actually a really nice-looking restaurant across from Spin. There actually is. That's a really...
Oh, no. We were just talking about this. There are good restaurants across from Spin. But
there are. That's
a very good point. And we've talked about this on the show before. Yeah, where's a straight female shower night at fucking Forever? Yeah, it ain't at your place, Luisi. Calm down, Mr.
Calm down, Daddy.
Yeah, Mr. Mom over here.
He just told me he was having a kid while you guys were having this discussion.
Yeah,
and
Mikey
this is your girlfriend?
Well, look at Giuliano. He's just bad.
So you told your dad.
No, she's not pregnant.
No, but I mean like.
He's just a horny bastard.
Right. Look at our last few text messages.
Hey, Jeez, Mom.
I hope Rachel's not listening now.
Hey, Mom, remember you always told me you wanted me to get married and have kids? Well, I'm gonna, just not in that order.
Here are my last five text messages from Anthony Giuliano. Well, I'll start with this because it's funny. Stupid lottery, I didn't fucking win. Good start. Good start, Giuliano.
He thought he was gonna.
That was just a random message. Okay, then, I don't know what this has to do with anything. My vote is for a local hot lady celebrity that doesn't mind going stern titty style. Boom, motorboats all around, smiley face with a wide open mouth. Ugh. Then he goes, what teddies? And I go, it's a strip club. It's not. It's a hot dog joint.
And I told him it's where they serve steaming hot vagina.
You said where they serve steaming hot vagina. I said, it's a strip club. He goes, oh, shit, where I want to come, ass titties. I go, it's hot dog. Anthony responds, you had to throw that in there. What's more fucked up is I saw that and then stopped to pick up a snack and subliminally ordered a char dog. Took it orally, though. I don't know what any of that means.
What does that mean?
Well, he responds to my answer about the teddy. He goes, loving it.
This is where we get our money, bud.
And then says, but wait for me, man. I don't want to be all alone.
Yeah.
Jesus.
This is one of our producers. Isn't he great?
Isn't he great?
Yeah, he's producing the film.
He's holding our wallet.
We have a bastard child coming in through the film.
Yeah.
We have a producer who spent all his time thinking about pussy. And we have the supposed mayor of Nowheresville.
And we have Pat.
And
but the question is, Has the sandwich been produced?
And then let's not forget the Secretary of the State himself, Charles Salvatore. So those are my lineup of producers for the film. Yeah.
Good Lord. What does their LinkedIn look like? Have they produced anything on the LinkedIn? Come on.
Chuck has
a nice headshot on LinkedIn.
And what do we hear about every week on this show from Charles?
Oh, wait. See this? See where the Mayor Kanata is at?
Is he on the LinkedIn?
No. He's at Naha right now.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah.
The whiskey's no good.
Right.
Whiskey choices are no good, says the guy that has no problem drinking Jack Daniels all day. They got to have Jack Daniels there.
Yikes.
What's going on, Steve? We were talking about how you have all these fucking odd jobs.
Oh, yeah. What would you like to know about them? I've had a lot of odd jobs. What would you like to know?
Painting chicken coops? Or?
No, but what is the weirdest odd job experience off of Craigslist? Because your Craigslist are a little outrageous.
Yeah.
On Craigslist, Steve.
Yeah, well, it's you don't got to pay. You know,
Do you have sex life on Craigslist?
No. I saw a movie on Lifetime. You shouldn't go there.
That's true, that movie. Okay, so what happened? What? Tell me how you get jobs on Craigslist.
Well, I go. There's a television section on Craigslist, and there's a gig section, and I just go and take a look, see, and if it's something that, I've gotten it down to a science where I can smell bullshit, where it's like, okay, they're either a robot or they're full of shit. I won't bother with it. If it's someone who seems halfway legitimate, like Production Craft, which is one of the biggest production houses in Chicago, well, then I'll look into it and shoot them an email and go from there.
When did you... You worked on the Christian Slater show from that, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And he posted on the Craigslist. Yeah.
Christian Slater posted on the Craigslist?
Yeah, and they didn't fucking pay me, those faggots. God. They didn't pay me. They did not fucking pay me, actually. Oh, funny you should mention
you?
That. They didn't pay
you. Are they going to pay you?
Those what?
Listen, it's a sore subject, all right? They didn't pay. I have no idea. I still have my voucher and everything.
Didn't you see Timmy Buss over there, Tim Busfield?
I did see Tim. I actually caught him after lunch. And
you should
maybe
have
that's what... Well... Maybe that's why I got in trouble. I didn't get in trouble per se, but I never got paid. I'm telling you this. I'm not making this up.
How long
never got paid
on the show?
Oh, I don't. I'd rather not say. I mean, we're talking October, buddy. I'm not getting paid. I got lost in their shuffle.
Wow.
They had a producer. This is a good getting into the industry story. I'm really about to pull back the meat curtain here. For people pulling back your meat curtains. So I'm talking to this producer who's telling us during the breaks his whole life story. And I eventually said to him, like, dude, are people asking you about yourself? He goes, yeah, and I'm sick of answering. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure some of us are sick of listening. But he says he got his job through Michael Bay. Michael Bay gave him just handed him a job because he was working on the Transformers and made the Michael Bay laugh, and they just became chummy, and he got a job, and then he just been working from there. So it is, I mean, when people say others have handed people jobs, it does happen. It's very common. So, yeah, mind games. It was pouring rain. It was about 45 degrees that day, maybe a little colder, and I was outside in the rain for 8 hours.
Jesus.
And food was good. And late October, yeah.
A meal out of it? What are you crying about?
Food? Oh, come on. Yeah, well, everyone else got paid, pal.
How good was
the deal?
Wait, were people that you worked with, did they get paid?
Yeah. This girl who I spent, because they paired us off, because we were walking right by the one of the theaters down there, like right off of State in Dearborn area, that kind of region, and we're walking up and down the theater district, and they paired me with this chick who apparently is some sort of model. She gave me her business card. She's smoking hot. So I text her one night. I'm like, hey, did you ever get paid from mind games? She goes, yeah, a while ago. Then I talked to another bro who I ran into while doing stand-up, and I'm like, hey, you ever get paid from mind games? He goes, yeah, a while ago. I'm like, God damn it.
You know,
everyone's getting paid from mind games.
You're like that guy from Office Space with a stapler.
Milton.
Well, actually, speaking of, I made up a fake letter from a fake attorney because another company off the Craigslist was dragging their feet about paying me. That's the other thing.
Yeah, but this
you gotta be a hemorrhoid.
This is a Christian Slater, and there's another big star on it, television show for like Fox or whatever.
It's for Fox, yeah. It's actually a mid-season replacement for a show on ABC.
Yeah,
it airs in January. I'm on the fifth episode.
The point being, Steve, is that's a studio not paying you.
Yeah, I got stiffed by Fox. How many of you can say that?
No, Luis, you made a good point. Call BBB, call the Better Business Bureau, complain. Call or threaten Fox. Call Fox's payroll and say, you didn't fucking pay me. I'm calling the BBB. I'm calling Triple B, and you're going to be in trouble.
You got a paper trail to prove it, right? Hold on.
I do. They gave me a voucher. Yeah, I held on to it. It's like a receipt. It's like a... Yeah.
Here's your legal counsel, Alex Luisi and Michael Turner.
Are you sure that they actually hired you?
Let me double check. I filled out, them tax forms, and I gave them my, identification. Pretty sure they hired me.
Do you think maybe they decided not to hire you, but you just kept showing up, so they just figured they'd get some free work? Or
No, and I can tell you why. Because they hired cops on this set. Whenever they go on location, they got cops everywhere to kick people out.
You're right.
That was a job of a PA. That's a job of a PA, too, by the way. You think you've had some shitty gigs. These PAs, during rush hour traffic, were telling people they could not walk on the sidewalk because we were filming.
Steve, good luck.
He's
my attorney, okay?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I'll give you the number. You can use my attorney, okay?
It's for $90. I mean, I'm cheap. I'm as cheap as they come. We all know this.
Wait. Hold on. You just wasted the last half hour of my life for $90?
Well, you never asked. I was trying to tell you.
Whole conversation for $90?
Yes. You do realize all I was doing was being a background extra. That's the union rate.
I thought they were paid. You were like, it was like thousands.
No, $90. $90.
Yeah, I would just kind of let this one go then.
Well, I went to court today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But Zoe Bell's calling in like
that. Oh, okay.
So do we want to start your court story now or do it afterwards?
Now, that's okay.
How epic is it?
Hey, well, Steve, why aren't you over here?
Or is it just
the glove didn't...
I had no idea that I didn't... I don't know why I'm not over there. I can come on by.
You want to stay on the phone, talk to Zoe Bell when she calls in?
It must have went well because you're here.
Yeah, if I can, that's fine.
All right, you can ask her how hot she is and stuff. You be that
guy. I plan to.
I'll be the professional.
Yeah. Well, she's
really
hot,
guy
Steve.
Crying about 90. Why don't you explain to Zoe Bell how you got raped by Fox?
Zoe, I'm $90.
Yeah, right.
You know, remember this.
God.
She was a stunt double for a very beautiful woman.
For many beautiful women.
Yeah.
Many beautiful women.
And have you seen her?
I have not. Well,
You may want to Google
yeah.
Zoe.
I will. I gotta say one quick thing, because it's a reoccurring trend that people are stiffing me on money, because I shit 20s, obviously.
Now, could this have anything to do with getting jobs off of Craigslist?
Absolutely. But this is the thing. It's like, it's not like Ma and Pa Kettle. These are companies.
So
Tommy 20th Century Fox isn't big.
It's not the job.
LinkedIn, you don't get jobs. Craigslist,
you don't get paid.
You get jobs, but you don't get paid.
Yeah, right.
So, no, folks, because I have had people pay me off of Craigslist. Just there's a few bad apples. And here's the thing. I'm leading up to something really good, though. So an audio video company has been giving me the runaround about paying me. They're going to. Gave me the runaround. I made up a fake letter from a fake lawyer. What name did I use? Robert Cannata. I used the name Robert Cannata as my lawyer.
I wouldn't know who that would
refer
cover. To at all.
It's Robert Cannata.
You're going to come up with such a creative name, Steve.
Listen. And, this is Oklahoma screwing me over again, because this company is based in Oklahoma. I came up with the name because I'm thinking to myself, what's a good lawyer name?
You know the show's live, right?
You know lots of people listen to this show.
Oh, absolutely. All right.
Good.
Well, you're not taping this.
No, we're not taping it, no.
No, it's just it can be deleted. Come on.
I mean, our listenership.
No, you're pretty much going to jail at this
Our
point,
listenership
Steve.
Isn't
is,
at an all-time high.
This is no big deal.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue your story about your mail fraud. I mean, your lawyer note from Robert F. Cannata.
What if Zoe blew the whistle on him?
Oh, that's what's going
on. Well,
didn't yet.
Right.
She is blowing the whistle on him.
It's happened before. Can't be fraud because I've not been. Well, gotta keep in mind, haven't gained anything from anything. Gotta keep that in mind.
Fraud? You mean your extortion didn't go through yet?
Hey, let me ask you a question. What exactly did you do for $90?
I walked around when they would say action, I'd start walking. When they'd say cut, I'd stop. And that's basically it in a nutshell. It's what you do as a background actor.
I'm just going to throw this out here, Steve. I wouldn't have paid you either.
Oh,
no!
Mikey. Mikey, you'd been like, yeah, they owe me the fucking money.
It's $90.
It's your time. They paid you for your time.
Mikey, everyone, you'd be surprised, Mikey, at how many people were there doing this. And, by the way, this wasn't my first rodeo. I was a background extra on Boss.
I was a background extra on Boss. Right,
these pretzels are making me
Zoe
thirsty.
Bell's calling in. Zoe Bell's calling in.
I love your work.
So let's stick with this. Zoe, are you there? Hello. Oh, there's Zoe Bell. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, very good.
Wonderful.
Zoe, unfortunately, had to listen to Steve's background extra terrible stories. Zoe's been a professional for a long time, Steve, and she does get paid. Zoe, have you ever not been paid for a gig that you were supposed to get paid for?
Have I ever not been paid when I was supposed to get paid?
Mm-hmm.
Not yet.
Well, then I think you're
not
good.
Not yet.
Yeah, I think you've been doing it long enough where that's not going to happen. you're good at this point. The movie's Raise, it's premiering at the midnight section of the Tribeca Film Festival. But I want to talk about your whole career because you have a really fascinating career.
Yeah.
You started out as a stunt double, correct?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Okay. And you worked for someone who's a good friend of the show. Well, you worked as someone, in a way, Lucy Lawless.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, I did. Heavily. She spoiled me for the rest of my career. You guys sound like you're...
What is that? Steve. You might have to cut Steve out.
She just skydived.
Was that Steve? Was he parachuting? Zoe, are you there?
It sounds like it. Yes, I am.
I'm sorry. I cut
I
out
wish the, I was parachuting.
I cut out Steve skydiving.
Is that better?
All right.
Much
let's
better.
Talk about Lucy Lawless. How did you get hooked up being Lucy Lawless's stunt double? Because we love Lucy here. And then tell us how much of a blast you two had hanging out together.
Okay. So it's basically, how did it start? God. I did gymnastics and martial arts when I was a kid. Simply because if I wasn't expending energy doing those sorts of things, my parents probably would have gone mental or thrown me off a bridge or something. And through martial arts and gymnastics, I kind of met people that were apparently stunt people. And at some point I figured out that what a stunt person did was really, really cool. And I wanted a piece of it. And, my dad was a doctor working at in an emergency room, and the guy, this is a very truncated version of the story, by the way, because I am very capable of rambling and making this a full hour story, but I shan't.
You're on the right place. Yeah, that's good, Lee. That's true.
My dad came home with a phone number, basically, and was like, I'm sick of hearing you talk about this stunt thing. Can you please call this person and make them hire you so you can move out of the house and stop talking about it?
I wish my dad would do that for me. My dad's
not—he's
not giving me a number and saying, "Hey, call this guy; he'll give you a job. Get the fuck out of my house."
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you said fuck. That means I'm allowed to swear, which I appreciate.
Oh yeah, no, you're good on fuck. So this is like a daredevil job, and your dad caves in and lets you do it. Is there like no concern that you're like going to like? I don't know, have, like, an accident or this is a dangerous...
Injured myself somehow? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that was sort of Mum's department, I think. I think Dad sort of handed that one over to Mum a little bit. I think the reality is, if you were to ask him, he would very honestly say, it seemed like the perfect job for my daughter, and I knew it would make her so happy that it didn't even occur to me to do anything other than suggest she do it. Does make my dad odd, but lovable.
Well, what was your first, like, dangerous?
The first one I remember, the first ever stunt I did was I was, like, a little half-naked Amazon fur-clad running around the background, probably never bigger than 2 inches on any screen. But the first real stunt I did was jumping out of a moving car for a TV movie or miniseries called The Chosen, and I was doubling. Who was I doubling? Anyway, jumping out of a moving car. I remember them strapping my ankles and thinking, I feel like there must be a reason that they're strapping my ankles. And then I realized why, because they pushed me out of a car going about 20 miles an hour.
Now, when you're going out of a car at 20 miles per hour, how do you keep yourself from getting injured?
No, not tuck and
roll.
You're thrown out of cars, Luisi.
Right. Tuck and roll.
Well, you know what? It's not far off. I mean, we started off a bit slower and we built up to the final speed. But the reality is, it's all about tucking and rolling, but it has to have an instantaneous
speed. Tuck and roll is correct. You should be on Family Feud. All right, survey says tuck and roll.
It's like being dropped. You know when you see people sort of fuck it up on a treadmill and their feet disappear from underneath them and they just sort of face plant? It's
so
pretty
it's
much like that. Someone's dropping you on a really big treadmill. So you basically have to roll instantaneously, Omar.
And how many times do you guys shoot that?
God, I can't remember. Probably about
more than
three
once?
Or four, I think I did it.
Wow. How much do you get paid to tuck and roll out of a car going 20 miles per hour four times?
Let me tell you, that many years ago in New Zealand, probably not much.
Wow. You've got to be out of your fucking mind.
You're the coolest.
I mean, yeah, you're cool, but you're out of your mind, too. I could never date you or anything. You're crazy.
How much ibuprofen did you go through?
A fair amount. I can remember the first one went fairly smoothly. The second one went all right. And then something about the third one, just in the way I hit, all I can remember is, because they had to instruct me, when you land, move, we need to take some continuity photos, blah, 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 so whatever position you land in, just stay there. And on the third one, I had no problem staying there. In fact, I really didn't want to get up again when it was time to go again.
So after two takes, you're kind of in the groove.
Well, actually, it was the other way around. I did two, and I kind of nailed it. The first two. Oh,
yeah,
I think maybe.
Probably
I think
so
by the third
two.
I think what I reckon it is. I reckon by the third one, my body was just like, this is not part of the whole self-preservation mechanism, so it probably did its own take on what it should do and screwed it up for me. Thanks, body.
What are some of the serious injuries you've gotten from stunt work?
Basically, I've had two. That's the sound of me knocking wood, trying to unjinx the third one ever happening. And one was when I was about 19 on Xena, and I stubbornly thought I could make a stunt from two stories work, but my stunt coordinator at the time was saying probably wouldn't. And, you know, there's something just, like, delusional about your sense of when you're 19 and you think you're sort of invisible and you're not going to die. And I just thought I could make it work, and I thought I'd just prove it to him. And proved quite the opposite and sort of folded myself in half backwards and fractured one of my vertebrae and was sort of rooted.
When you're 19 and you fuck up a stunt that bad, how quick do you mature? Do you feel like you went from being like 19 to like 27 the next time you did a stunt?
In terms of stunt wisdom, yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, actually,
right.
let me tell you how I actually just lied to your face or to your ears, I guess. I actually, 2 weeks later, was feeling like, this isn't so bad. And my doctor had said you need at least 10 weeks off. And it was about 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we were going to break for 8 weeks. So technically, if I just took to the 2 weeks off, I would have been on holiday anyway. I decided to go back in because I just thought I was feeling pretty good. I can't remember what my parents or anyone around me was thinking, that maybe I just snuck out of the house to go to work. But I was in a fight at work, and they had to break a chair over my back. And I thought, if I just put a back pad in, I will be fine. I wasn't. I collapsed and cried for probably the first time ever in front of the crew. And the director walked up to me. This is when I learned it. The director walked up to me and said, I know you want to be here because you feel like we can't do without you. First of all, that's slightly arrogant. Second of all, as important as you are to us, you're completely useless to us broken. And I was like, shit, I never thought about it like that. It took for him to state it as clearly as that for me to learn it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, too, because we were talking about injuries here. Tarantino, he said that you got some injuries on Kill Bill, right? You broke some bones in your back?
You know, this is one of those sad mix-ups where I wish I could be like, I totally broke my back again on Kill Bill. But what actually happened was my actions caused someone else's backbone to break. And at the end of the movie, I had an injury that put me out for a year that was not my back. It was my wrist. So I think somewhere along the line, those two stories kind of got combined because one of my injuries was my back.
Yeah.
Back in the day, excuse the pun. But that was Daryl Hannah's stunt double, Monica Staggs, in the trailer fight when Uma first enters feet first in the flying double sidekick. Those are my feet, and for some reason the angle wasn't selling, and so the stunt coordinator and Quentin both came up to Monica and I and said, can you do it for real? Like, can you kick her hard? And I was like, yeah, I can. If she's okay with it, I can do that, you know. So Monica said, sure, and she strapped the back pad to her front. It became a front pad. And I kicked her really hard, and she flew back further than anyone really expected, and she hit the sort of cabinet behind her. But we didn't know that she had broken her back. In fact, we both thought she'd bust a fake boob, which was equally as terrifying at the time because I had no idea if that was going to kill her or not. But it wasn't until she went to the doctor about 2 years later that the doctor was like, it seems that you may have broken your back about this many years ago. And she traced it back and realized that that would be my fault. That wasn't a bust boob. It was a broken vertebrae. Sort of something.
How did your relationship with Quentin Tarantino grow? Because I know you've done a couple of his films now. So what made him choose you, and how did that relationship grow?
Well, I first met him at the audition for the Kill Bill movies. So in a roundabout way, so basically there was a documentary called Double Dare that had two subjects in it. One was a woman called Jean Epper, who was one of Wonder Woman's stunt double back in the day. And I was the subject at the time. I was doubling Lucy, so I was the Xena stunt double. And the director, Amanda McKaylee, was like, this is great, the juxtaposition of sort of like the stunt woman who's been around forever and this new up-and-coming, blah, 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 blah. So sort of during the shooting of that, I was on my way to Canada because New Zealand film industry sort of all shut down after Lord of the Rings and Pacific Renaissance, who did Xena and Hercules, and so everything sort of shut down at the same time. And after a year, I was like, well, I'm either going to have to be a waitress or I'm going to have to leave the country and figure out if there's somewhere else for me to fall over for a living. So I thought I'd try Canada. And on the way there, I ended up at the Kill Bill auditions. So me meeting Quentin for the first time is actually captured on film, which is pretty special. And I don't know, something about the way that I auditioned, and it wasn't because I performed amazingly, because I actually, this is when I'm happy I can swear, because I truly fucked it up, being that I had trained, you know, when it's like for me being in LA was being in a candy land of stunt people. It was like, you know, this guy had Eiffel Towers and airbags and trapeze and trampolines in his backyard. And I was just like, what? Angels were singing and stuff. So I introduced me to that the morning of this audition. So I spent 3 hours exhausting myself and then turned up to the audition. I think because I just had no concept of how real the situation was. I mean, I walked in and I saw Ethan Hawke and Daryl Hannah on treadmills. I was like, okay, Reality Bites and Splash, where am I? I have no way of registering this as a real experience. So I screwed it up because I was exhausted, but I think because of my attitude, because I just kept going, shit, give me one more try. I know I can do it. And so I got up and nailed myself about 7 times in a row, and I think he probably went, A, she doesn't break, that's good, and B, she doesn't mind, so let's hire her. I think that's how that started.
Yeah.
And then somewhere in the...
She wants you to do 10 takes, you'll do them.
Precisely, which, you know, that definitely came up on Kill Bill. And then during the shooting of Kill Bill, you know, so Kill Bill and Quentin sort of became the third act for this documentary. So we already, our paths were kind of intertwined straight off the bat. And then Kill Bill, we just got along like a house on fire, and we worked in really intense situations with lots and lots of hours. And he kind of was the first guy that asked me to look at my work through the eyes of the character. I mean, he would basically communicate with me the way he would communicate with the actors, and I think that's telltale of Quentin. I mean, anyone who's in front of the camera should be thinking the way an actor does about the character that they're being or portraying or being a part of, or... So he would talk to me like I was the bride, and so that was a really new experience for me and a whole different dimension to my work, and I think he got a kick out of introducing me to that way of thinking.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up, because that's what I was trying to get at, is with Ray's here, this is like big starring role for you. Did you cut your teeth as an actor in a weird way working with guys like Quentin as a stunt double?
You know, the more comfortable and the more relaxed I am in the skin of an actor, that sounds way creepier than I meant it to, but I think you know what I mean, yes, absolutely. The more I relax and I can see the similarities between the two, without a doubt, Quentin is a different one because he literally had me, he literally communicated with me as an actor, and if I didn't communicate as an actor back, he would get infuriated. Like I was not respecting the character or the
So when
the
you
film,
were talking,
you know,
when you were talking to Quentin as Zoe and not as the bride, he would get aggravated with you.
Well, yeah, not like angry, but it was frustrating for him because his whole thing. Yeah, I mean, he basically said to me, "Look, you and Uma are together are the bride. Like it's not like Uma's the bride and you're just fighting." He's like, the way you move is the way the bride moves, because when Uma's not on the screen, it's you. So if you're not the bride, we lose the bride. And I was like, God, that makes so much sense, but suddenly I feel so much more pressure on my shoulders. And then I realized that it wasn't really, it's the same thing. It just came from, It just means that then, and the reality is, I think I was doing it anyway. So when I was doubling Lucy, it's just this one example, if I may digress. And if I can't, tell me, because I will.
No, digress.
I have a memory of, I went, you know, I came behind the camera when I was shooting on Second Unit on Xena to watch this fight. And I remember looking at the fight stance that I had. I was sort of cocked up on one toe. My back leg was sort of up on a toe. And I was like, I said to the continuity, I was like, what is that stance about? Why am I doing that? And she's like, I don't know. It's just sort of been forming in the last week or so. You've been doing it. I was like, it's really weird. I've got a note to self. Stop doing that because I don't know why I'm doing it. And I went to main unit the next day to do a fight scene with Lucy to fight opposite the other actress. And I was watching Lucy do the fight, and she was doing exactly the same thing. And I had this kind of cool moment where I was like, oh, this is, because the way I would learn the fights is through the stunt coordinator teaching the choreography and watching Lucy's coverage of it, you know. And I think I just, through osmosis, sort of witnessed that the character Xena was standing in such a way, and it was my job to take that on, you know, like as a mimic. That was part of what I did. But it was more from Quentin. It was the sort of the emotional journey of the character. Was just, it was just something I'd never really considered before. So yeah, Quentin was definitely the first time. Was definitely the first time I started to wrap my mind around that.
Oh yeah, he's very good with actors in that sense.
Yeah, yeah, he's brilliant.
So let me ask you about Raze. Let's talk about Raze, and then we're going to let you get going. Raze is a film kind of like, Mikey was saying, it's like Hunger Games in like what was you saying? Hunger Games in Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, except these women are sadly abducted. They're not terrorists, but when you receive it, first of all, how did you get offered this film? How'd you get offered this film, and what did you think of the script since it's so out there when you got it?
Well, here's the irony of how that, I love that description. I actually just wrote that down.
That's good. Use that for other interviews.
It's brilliant. That's fantastic.
Thank you. I seem to do well with people from New Zealand.
You do. You do well.
We respond well here, is that the case? Wait,
I got along with Lucy.
We didn't even get to the point of talking about how awesome Lucy is. By the way, awesome.
Oh, we will.
Lucy. Well, that's true, too. Awesome
did you? Lucy. All right, let's just clear this up. You and Lucy have had a few drinks together, right?
Who are you talking about, me?
No. Well, we've all had a few drinks together, but I'm making sure Zoe and Lucy have had a few drinks together. Oh, yeah.
Yes, we have. Yes,
there it is. See?
Everybody.
All right. Yep. All right. So let's talk about Raze, though. You get this. How'd you get this offer for this huge role? No. Go ahead.
So this is what happens. I jump around. Literal as well. Okay. So basically, Josh Waller is someone who's the director and one of the producers. I've known for years and years and years. He hooked up with Kenny and Andy, who are the two other producers, and they were sort of jamming around the idea of this. At the time, it was a short called Raze, and the basic premise was there about the sick and twisted society that kidnapped women and forced them to fight. I think in the original, it was a little bit more sort of grindhouse. I think it was more pin-ups and Playboy Bunny types that would be the girls. Anyway, at some point, Josh was talking to them, and he sort of had said my name, like, wouldn't it be cool to get someone like Zoe Bell? And Kenny had been like, oh, my God, I know the work. That would be awesome, which at the time he was probably one of maybe 10 people who knew me by name, you know. But so Josh brought me in. We talked to the guys. At the time, it was a short. They suggested that I come on board as a producer because I'd stated that I would love to be involved and be part of the collaborative. If I was going to put my face all up in it, I would like to be able to put my opinions all up in it as well. And so we went ahead and we raised the money and we made the short. And then during the making of the short, I can't actually remember exactly how it happened, but something sparked and heat started being a bit generated and people started asking when the feature was coming out, and we didn't even have a feature script at that point. So we just sort of, we kind of ran with it. So I was already on board before the feature story actually eventuated. So I was creatively involved as that snowball grew. So it's not like, and I, to be honest, if they'd have put the full script in front of me and been like, how do you feel about being the lead of this? It probably would have been a far more jolting experience, and I have no idea how I would have reacted. But as it was, being part of the team that was sort of creating and coming up with these crazy outlandish ideas, I don't know, maybe I just sort of, I swallowed my own Kool-Aid. I was in love with the project. It was cool.
That is cool. So let's talk about the film. There's a ton of violence in it, of course. It's like 50 broads beating the shit out of each other.
Yep.
A lot of them are hot, so people will be tuning in for that as well. Did you always have an idea that this was going to be one of those cult midnight kind of films, like it's being heralded as Tribeca?
You know, I think, yes. I mean, I kind of think it was less that our goal was to be that, and more that I feel like straight out the gate, if you have 50 women imprisoned and fighting, but straight off of that, it's kind of, it's not like Disney's going to want to pick it up and distribute it, you know? It's kind of, it sort of states its business before you even see it. I think what was sort of an interesting take and what we were all really excited and passionate about was being that we weren't trying to make the smartest, most intellectually challenging film on the planet, our challenge became to make some really brilliant fight stuff. And I don't mean brilliant like competing with Hong Kong choreography. I mean just something I'd never done before, which is saying a lot, and something that we'd never seen before that was just gritty, visceral female fights that were as realistic as possible, all the way down to the emotional realism, the realism of the motivation. You know, like you could get guys fighting as gladiators and they would probably fight to the death. I feel like I've no idea because I've never been kidnapped and asked to fight to the death before in real life, but unless you had a child of mine, or let's say in my real life, my brother, that I was fighting to save the life of, there's a good chance I would just lay down and let someone else kill me because I can't imagine taking someone's life.
Yeah, that's
kind of... So there was this whole... You know, the challenge was for us, and thank God we had the cast willing to come aboard that came aboard, because it's a harrowing experience kind of coming from that place. And, I mean, I'm still moved by the fights when I watch them in a way that's new to me, which is, you know, that was sort of the... I guess it was like as much as we knew we were going to fit into the genre world, there was also something about female fight movies in the genre that we wanted to sort of see if we could do differently. I guess that's like an arrogant thing, so that's what everyone wants to do, but that was sort of the intention.
Oh. If you're always trying to do something different, there's some artistic value to that, and that's good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I dig that. You said... One of your goals all along as one of the producers was to get this into Tribeca. Explain the process of entering your film in Tribeca, how you found out it was going to screen at Tribeca, and what happened after you screen at Tribeca.
Okay, so wait, I may have misled you. My goal wasn't always to get into Tribeca. To be honest, as a producer on this film, I was thinking in terms of the genre that might be in, say, the Tribeca Midnight.
Oh, right, right. Okay. No, that's fair. But then, okay, let's talk about that then, though. You get into Tribeca's night portion of the festival. What's that whole experience like?
I mean, amazing. But, I wish to also back that up by saying I don't think I'd even let myself get as far as to consider if it got into festivals such as Tribeca, you know, let alone that we would all be out there sort of, it was a phenomenal experience. There was two things that happened, and my analogy may get lost on some people, but, you know, when you're the lead actor of a movie, there's sort of like an anxiety that happens when you know it's going to be screened in front of a bunch of people that you either know or don't know. Both are terrifying for different reasons.
Sure.
But so I would describe that as, you know, when you stub your toe, there's that pain that happens. The one thing that overrides that pain is when you slam your fingers in the door, which is kind of like when you're the producer on the movie and the whole movie is your baby. So it's like the anxiety of being the lead of this thing was overwhelmed by the anxiety of the fact that I was part of what created this whole, you know, it's like putting your child on display. And Tribeca was just such a brilliant place to do it because there's just, I feel like the audiences that go to Tribeca are genuinely film lovers, you know, so they're looking to love things. Sorry?
No, I agree. I think they are too.
Yeah, so it was just, it was a really safe place to sort of, I was about to say birth your baby, but that analogy is getting a bit gross now, but, you know, like, to sort of present something that you're feeling vulnerable around. It was just
another New Zealand woman who hated the analogy of it's your baby.
Yeah.
Wait, and you know, Lucy the hates the analogy of it's your baby?
Yes, Lucy's, yep. Lucy, very common. On the pilot we shot with Lucy, Common compared one of his albums to his baby, and Lucy went off.
Yeah, in a very charming Lucy way, not in a malicious way.
Sure.
No, I can imagine.
Whichever way Lucy sees it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, it's more like crapping out a watermelon.
Right. So
is that, I think, for women,
women don't like things being compared to as having a child.
Childbirth is apparently off limits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, there's nothing else like it, is the thing.
Right. So this wasn't like a child. This wasn't like your baby, but this was like your adopted child. So,
I was exposing my adopted child in front of people for the first time. You see, that sounds terrible, too. I think you just have to drop the whole analogy.
No, that sounds awful.
exposing children in front of audiences, that's not where I want to be going.
Did you hear from anyone surprising, like any celebrities that you've worked with or anyone in the business that you've worked with that has seen the film? Has anyone gotten to you guys and told you how much they enjoyed it or any kind of notes at all or anything like that?
Quentin, I'm still trying to get it in front of, ironically.
He'll see it.
Yeah, it happens. He'll see it. But I did.
He ends up seeing it even if you didn't get it in front of him. He'll get around to it. Trust me.
Of course he will. No, he'll watch every movie that we create.
400 movies, gets high, and watches them all.
Yeah. Months. In back to back.
See, women agree with me. They think women that watch too many movies are kind of losers.
Okay.
Well, there's a reason the man's not married.
Women that watch too much movies?
Zoe, what do you think of a man who spends, like, 7 hours a day watching movies?
Well, see, it depends. If it's part of his job, and he...
What if you don't get paid for it? What if you don't get paid for it?
Oh, this is the coolest thing you've ever done.
Do you get paid from some other avenue? Basically, what I'm saying is, are you a homeless bum that can just afford a TV?
Let's say you work 9 to 5, and come home and you watch
and watch three movies from 6 till 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, if it gave time to have conversation, I'm sure the conversation would be interesting if you watch that many movies. As long as
By yourself.
Oh.
She doesn't want to say anything mean, but she knows you're not getting laid.
No.
That's the problem.
No, the reason that...
Well, when have you got time to get laid?
When do you got time to get laid? When you're not watching 3 movies an evening.
There's plenty of time.
Pretty much.
Right, Mikey?
There's plenty of time to get laid.
Mikey, how many movies you watch a week? This is a movie show.
Oh, God.
Usually maybe one.
One a week, right?
Yeah. And
Alex?
That's usually on...
One or two?
And it's usually on Saturdays after my big workout, when I have a big workout, big meal, and then I don't want to do anything and sit on the couch for a couple hours. And I usually watch a movie.
Okay. I feel you. Yeah. I think 3 a week's all right.
How many movies?
Lee, how many movies do you watch a week?
I've been on a probably steady diet of 7 to 10 movies a week.
That's it?
Holy shit.
You found theater and rentals?
All together? Yeah.
I don't buy that one bit.
No, it's a lot, though.
But it's not true.
It's more than that. Higher than 10 some weeks.
It's higher than that when I'm depressed, but I'm not depressed that often.
Oh, Jesus.
I haven't been...
You're going to make him depressed. Be nice.
All right.
He ain't quitting.
Thank you.
Hey, what kind of stunt work do you have to do on the movie like The Proposal?
Okay.
Where you're like Sandra Bullock's on romantic comedy. That's like easy money.
Well, and totally. And the director of that. I was on 27 Dresses as well, I'll have you know. And on 27 Dresses, I don't want to say this. Well, 27 Dresses, I did a jump that was about a foot wide between the dock and a boat. I think it was meant to be bigger and higher and more dangerous, and it just ended up not being at all, and I tripped down one stair.
That's like the easiest money of your life, though, right? It's a studio movie, studio stunt work, and you have to jump like a foot.
But you got to do stunts for those Sandra Bullock comedies, because those movies, there's always a scene where she falls down.
Falls out of a boat.
She falls down in every movie.
I fell out of the boat. And I tell you what, the fall out of the boat wasn't even a big deal. It was the being in that Baltically freezing water that was kind of worth the paycheck. You know, the joy of romantic comedies is you fall down a stair, but there's such an avenue for those movies that my residual checks from those movies sometimes outweigh some of the more, like, when I've almost killed myself and I get, you know, like 57 cents on that movie, and then I get one from The Proposal and I'm taking people out for dinner. It's amazing.
Right.
I would
do
romantic comedy.
Like, when you did Catwoman, that was like a big payday, right?
On the day, yes. Residually, not so much.
No, because no one's showing that movie anymore.
All
right, I'm going to try to get you to say something about this here. If you decline, I understand.
Uh-huh.
Sharon Stone,
yes.
First person on the planet.
Wait, what was it?
Sharon Stone, the worst woman on the planet? Let's be honest. True or false? Because 80 million people have come on this show and told me Sharon Stone's the worst person they've ever dealt with.
Here's the irony, and this is not me trying to be diplomatic. Totally get that there were wardrobe girls that were torn to pieces, and probably that may have been the last job they ever did. My experience of Sharon Stone, I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it's whatever Lucy taught me back in the day. She loved me. I mean,
okay.
I was in her trailer. I ended up, like, she would get unchanged in front of me, so I can say I've honestly seen Sharon Stone tip. She gave me a bracelet to say thank you from Tiffany & Co. when I didn't even know who Tiffany & Co. was.
She gave you a Tiffany bracelet.
A friendship bracelet.
Is it like besties?
Yeah.
But, you know, when you see tits and get a friendship bracelet, doesn't it make you feel like maybe there was a different expectation in there? Which there wasn't, but as I said it, I thought, I wonder if I just
weird
for that situation.
But is it weird when she's, like, super cool to you, and then you see her yell at some PA, and you're like, but what happened to cool Sharon? But then you're kind of like, but she loves me, so it's okay.
Right.
I never saw her. I saw her being super eccentric and you know, but I kind of got a kick out of it because it was the first time I'd worked with a diva in my life, you know, because I'd worked with Uma and Lucy, basically.
Yeah, Uma
so
and
I was
Lucy
like,
I was
kind of like, this is cool. This is so Hollywood. But I never saw her be, I never saw her be mean.
I can see that being cool for a day or two, working with like Rod Stewart.
That's a very good attitude.
For a day or two.
You have a pretty good take on it, I think.
No, I think so. I think if you had to work with her for like a month, it may get old. But if it's like a day or two,
And if she didn't like me, I think it wouldn't even take a day before I'd be over it. Because she's. I'll give you this. She is powerful.
Right. Oh, sure.
So
now that you've done, like earlier this year, you did Iron Man 3. I'm assuming it was Gwyneth Paltrow's stunt work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like earlier this year, you do Iron Man 3. Now you got Rays coming out. Okay, you've now acted in Rays, lead role, dialogue, serious shit. You did stunt work for Iron Man 3, Gwyneth Paltrow. You don't have the pressure on you. It's not really on you.
Let me stop you.
Oh, yeah.
Because I did not double Gwyneth Paltrow. I haven't doubled. No, that was a woman by the name of Shauna Duggins who was phenomenal, and I would never, ever claim to be her work.
Did you not do Iron Man 3?
I worked on Iron Man 3 for like a couple of weeks because my friend from New Zealand, who I haven't worked with since I left New Zealand, coordinated it. And he was like, I need some manpower. And I was like, shit, I'll come play and hang out. And so it was totally responsibility free, and I was absolutely. I have not doubled officially, probably in the last 3 years, because I've been painfully trying to stay. Since what?
Since the proposal, probably around then, because now you've done acting work in Oblivion, and now you got Raised.
Yeah.
So that was my question, though. Which one do you enjoy more, and what are the pros and cons to each? Obviously, I think the pro to stunt doubling is there's no pressure on you, right? The movie fails.
Well, yes, absolutely. Catwoman's a prime example of that. I made a bunch of money. I did some awesome work. I met a bunch of amazing people, and that was for me. So yes, that form of pressure is off. But you know, when you're being asked to jump off a building and not fuck it up, so you don't have to cost the production that much money to do it again and again, there's a whole different kind of pressure involved. And also not die, that's a different kind of pressure again. But
dying.
In terms of which do I like, yeah, but not dying pressure is sort of one I learned to handle. You know, it happens, you get used to it.
When you act, you have to feel like you have more of a personal stake in the outcome.
Yeah, and also a more of a personal stake in the judgment that's going to happen of that performance. It's just, it's sort of a, you know, because putting my back spinning hook kick up for judgment is one thing. Putting my, here's what I look like when I'm crying and emoting up for judgment is a very different kind of vulnerability that has been interesting and somewhat challenging for me. In terms of what do I like best, I think they're just very different times in my life and different chapters. But to answer the question, I think at some point it will come up because it always does, is I did definitely make a decision to leave my stunt career where it was and focus on the acting career because that's where it felt like I was naturally going. But as any actor can tell you in this town, well, not most actors in this town can tell you that there's so many people out there wanting it and so many people that have been wanting it for so much longer than I was working for it. It really deserves and requires my dedication to sort of like, you know, to respect the fact that acting is an art and there are hundreds and thousands of people that are trying to do it and are probably way more sort of qualified than I may have been when I first started. I have to work really hard to stay deserving of it. And on top of that, it's really easy for people to see me as a stunt person because I've become quite well known as that. And the industry is really good at being like, I'm comfortable with you being a stunt girl. I'm not comfortable with you switching. So I've had to fight to be seen as that.
I'm sorry. Our friend Anthony just walked in, and we were busting his chops earlier because I think he was looking for a strip club and found us here. Does anyone have any more questions about Raised for Zoe before we go? Anything else going on?
No.
Mike, I'm good.
I'm good.
You just 50 women beating the shit out of each other. You like that.
Yeah, I'd love to see Zoe beat the shit out of somebody.
Well, you have.
I
mean in real life.
Oh, in real life? I think she could.
I think she could.
That's a little...
I think she could.
That's a little more perverse.
Lee, you got anything else?
No, good.
Raise some money on Kickstarter. We'll see how much money we can get for me to kick the shit out of someone.
That's what we'll do. We'll start a Kickstarter. Literally a Kickstarter.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Zoe Bell, kickstart the shit out of somebody.
Yeah.
And we'll see how much money we can get for that.
I want to see Zoe Bell, Gina Carano. That's what I want to see.
Oh, do you like Gina Carano?
Oh,
she's kind of hot.
She's cute. No. She seems really cool.
For an MMA broad.
You'll kick the shit out of that bitch, Gina Carano.
I don't know. She's really big.
Fuck you.
I know.
Do you think you could do MMA?
Me?
No, I'm talking to Zoe.
No.
I think I would have given it a good nudge had I been trained for it from a young age. Now, no. I mean, Gina would wipe the floor with me.
I know, but
she
kind of quit doing the MMA real fast. I mean, I know she was great, but
she
didn't take too long.
She dominated, and then she
dominated for like a year or two, and then she's like, I'm going to do movies with The Rock.
Yeah, she really just, she dominated, and then and I think she was doing boxing to begin with. And then, I haven't heard anything about her in a long time.
But, by the way, Zoe, congratulations on Raise. January 10th, iTunes Video on Demand. It's going to be in a few theaters as well. So you guys are all set. Video on Demand is huge now, especially with the Tribecas on January 10th, iTunes and limited theaters.
So
seen in the theater.
The theater.
Theater.
We watch it like seven times.
Oh, no, no.
Seven times. And if he's depressed, he'll watch it 10 that week.
No, no, no. Just when I'm depressed.
Yeah, you should. I challenge you to watch it every day of the week for a week.
Yeah, there you go. He probably will.
Easy.
But you guys are starting to break up on me. You sound like a bunch of angry robots right now.
I want to go be angry robots.
We're not angry.
But I do really want to thank you for joining us, Zoe. You're a doll. You know, you New Zealand women.
You're welcome.
This is in my book.
Yeah.
Mikey, you like New Zealand women?
Yeah, we need to go there on our vacay.
Yeah, you think you may find your wife.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Either that or some lamb, one of the two.
Well, probably both.
Lamb?
You can get lamb and
You'll have no trouble getting some lamb. There'll be no shortage of that. I don't know if you want to marry a sheep, but...
Well, Mikey wants some... He wants some of that mature lamb, though. He don't want no 19-year-old lamb. No?
He wants mutton?
He wants some mutton. Hey, if it looks like Lucy, Mikey's all fine with some mutton.
Right.
If that's what mutton is, sign him up.
He's fine.
Let me tell you, Quentin told me one time, I know we should be going, but Quentin told me one time, he sent me down one day, we were at a party, and it was like, blah, blah, something about, you know, sheep fucking, because that inevitably comes up when you're from New Zealand. I was like, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no, seriously, you know why those jakes exist? And I was like, no. Because we have 17 sheep per capita in New Zealand. And he was like, no, it's because the sheep vagina is most like a human vagina anatomically. And I was just like, first of all, if Quentin says it, he's probably read it and watched a documentary about it 100, like he knows.
Probably.
Second of all, I just don't know if that's a conversation that I don't know if I need to know this information about sheep. And why would anyone know that? Who's ever sat down a woman and a sheep and compared? You know, why
you can't unknow that.
Yeah, that's really
no,
not
sorry. Here you go.
Quentin knows a lot of weird things about a lot of weird things. I mean, I think
so
that's
you
pretty
go
much.
Want to New Zealand and get some lambs?
I still am kind of interested. I'll taste.
I didn't say sheep. I said lamb.
Lamb. What do you think he is, a perv?
Yeah, right. I'm sorry.
You should come back on sometime. We should have you and Lucy on at the same time.
That would be great.
That would be the same.
We should do that.
I would be totally upset.
It'll be like the old commercials, double the pleasure, double the fun.
Hey, Tobias, why aren't you booking Lucy Lawless and Zoe Bell same episode, same time? Where's that? No,
okay.
Tobias? He's going to get back to me. He'll write me an
email. That was for our sponsor.
All right. Well, Zoe, thank you so, so much, sweetheart.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you. Let me just do one plug of the website that's got most of the information so people can get to it is... RaiseTheMovie.com because we like to be original like that.
Very good. RaiseTheMovie.com.
Raise the movie, and that's with a Z, people.
I like it. Yeah, it's R-A-Z-E. And now Pat says Lucy is in New Zealand. They don't have phones in New Zealand, Pat?
It's made out of wool. It's made out of wool.
Oh, Pat. They're not all sheep fuckers, Pat. So anyways, thank you very much, Zoe. And Raise.
You're welcome.
Limited release, VOD, and iTunes. We are go-to for your VOD needs.
Yeah.
The Matthew Barron Show.
Right.
Thank you so much, Joey. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was great.
Well, I just couldn't stop thinking about how hot she probably is in person.
Yeah.
I mean, I was getting distracted during the interview because I'm like, hot. Hot.
You hear the voice and you just know.
Yeah, I was really distracted. I mean, I heard every word she said, but they weren't all registering at the same time in my head because I'd be like, yes, Quentin Tarantino, hot, Tarantino.
As a Greek man, it makes me feel very good that we are not the only people getting sheep fucking jokes hurled at us.
Oh, no, yes. Mikey, you do very well with these New Zealand bros.
I know.
No, I got to tell you. You know, I'm like, yeah.
Now, you might have to go for a Kiwi bride.
I think I know some people like when you you die and you have like 72 virgins in heaven.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't say that in the Quran.
Well, whatever.
Don't say that around Julian.
It says many good wives.
He's going to really expect 72 virgins when he goes to
heaven. My point is, I think of my version with that. So far, it would be two ladies from New Zealand and Kate Kelton.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, boy.
Kate Kelton likes you, too.
Wow.
She's great.
You know, I will say this, though. Mikey sure does pick, like, the best ones, and it's always Mikey's girl. And then you end up with, like, Kathy Bates. You're like, but no, Maddie, you did real well with that interview with Kathy Bates.
Yeah,
she's
right.
Fantastic.
Right.
Or Vivica Fox, it's more your thing. Oh, black jokes on the Matthew Arnold show.
Yep.
So I saw Anchorman 2 last night.
You did not.
I did.
You went without me and Len.
I'll see it again with you guys.
No, I don't want to even hear your spoilers now.
Well,
Len and I are seeing it Sunday.
Yeah, you and Len are doing that, and we're doing.
No, I don't know about me, you, and Len now.
Yeah, fine.
Me part may be out.
Uh huh. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're not allowed.
Okay.
Who saw Anchorman 2 before us? What the fuck's that?
Did you go to a sneak preview?
There was a midnight, right?
Oh.
9 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
9 o'clock? And they're going to count that towards this weekend.
It's fucking moving up and on.
Well, here's what happened. Me and my a buddy I hadn't seen in a while wanted to go out and grab some dinner. So we went out to this, you know, Mexican place we wanted to go to. And it was right next to the movie theater in our neighborhood.
Which place was this?
Yeah, it's some
which neighborhood?
It's in Batavia.
You don't need to know.
No.
On Randall Road.
What's the name of the theater, though?
Randall 15.
No, never been.
So they have giant IMAX.
Life. Yeah. Okay. Which Anchorman 2 played on the giant IMAX?
No.
Oh, okay.
We went over there just to see what was playing, and they're like, well, and we walked inside, and the girl's like, well, Anchorman 2 is playing at 9, and looked down, it's like 8:45. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, so I saw it.
Okay.
All I got to say is I think Adam McKay's great, and there's some really funny scenes in the movie.
Yeah, how come Pat didn't get Adam McKay on the show to promote the movie?
We had David Koechner, and that was a while ago, but...
I know, but I like Adam McKay.
You actually, if you remember, the last time I remember having Adam McKay on the show, which may not be the last time, he alluded to Anchorman 2, but wouldn't tell you anything about it.
He did.
You remember that?
He didn't want to spoil the surprise ending where you find out who gets killed. Who killed the... I mean, come on, he just didn't have it on his plate at that point, right?
No, he knew about the movie, but I don't think they knew the whole thing. Did they know the whole thing?
Well, it was like a year and a half ago.
No, that wasn't. That was...
No. What happened to Steve Weirich, by the way? I was getting really into hearing his $90 getting fucked out of him story.
You know, Zoe makes a little more than $90 for those stunts, but it sounds like not much more. Those stunts, you gotta be a renowned stunt person to make really good money. They don't pay those people that much, do they?
Well, probably starting out.
No. Which is crazy, because starting out is when you do the craziest shit.
We didn't get Adam McKay, because Adam McKay's assistant told Pat to talk to his publicist, who hates Pat.
Oh.
The publicist does not like Pat.
What? Who? How could you not?
There is a publicist who I know who it is. And by the way, my other publicist friends will concur. He's a jagoff. Who represents basically every A-list comedian, actor, or director. So I think like Jonah Hill's on that list, and like Will Ferrell and Adam McKay and Judd Apatow, people like that. And I don't know if he hates Pat, but he doesn't send Pat anybody.
Well,
or help Pat.
How could you not like Pat?
Well, yeah, it could be something to it, but he doesn't like his vigor.
Did you see that video of Keeping Up Appearances that Pat posted?
No, I refuse to watch it. Please tell me it's not funny.
I actually had some hope. I was like, you know what? I know we bust his balls about this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but it's probably a really funny show. Mm-hmm. So I watched it.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not believing one word you're saying about how you thought it was.
No, I really did. I thought maybe it could be funny, yeah.
He gave it a chance. Well, you gave it a chance.
So what happened?
You gave it a chance.
What happened, Mike?
Pat, I'm sorry, buddy, but I watched... I mean, it was a little bit funny, but it was about two old English women trying to get a large dog out of their driveway. And they're like, what do we do?
Is that really the scene?
What do we do? It's not moving. I don't know what to do.
That wasn't the entire plot.
Try pushing it from the back. It's not moving.
Is that really
this is a large dog. You know, yeah, it was like just terrible.
That sounds pretty funny, actually. No.
No,
I can see a heart. I can see a heartbeat.
Funny. You like this Keeping Up with Appearances?
No, I haven't seen it, but I just it could be funny.
Well, Mikey went into it with that idea.
You made Anthony
Pat
so mad.
You need some culture in your life, Mikey.
Wow. Well, I don't know what kind of culture includes 80-year-old English women, but
and never leaving the house.
I like those salt dogs.
And
they
Pizza
are...
Hut. Pizza Hut's culture, a little piece of... He has some Italy in his life. He has some English in his life,
Matt,
with the keeping up appearances.
My comment on the post was, Pat...
He has a platoon and watches
I was hoping for the best, but it turns out it may be the worst.
Are you
going to
say it's not cultural, though, that the man is eating Pizza Hut while watching English programming?
I don't know why...
Italian and British, all in one.
Pat, Pat, this is actually... Does he actually... Pat, do you like the Golden Girls? Like, does he ever watch the Golden... Because I find that much funnier.
The Golden Girls is awesome. That's
you know what?
They're all Harrison.
Oh, Italian. Of course you
are. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I thought one was Jewish.
Well, maybe one's Jewish.
I like Jewish people. They're funny.
You like Jewish people until they're compared to Italians. Then you don't like
them. Then you don't like them.
Well, they're just different.
You're right. So... What were we going to ask Pat Tobias? What was it?
You know, Pat, in all seriousness, post some more, like, funny clips from the show. I'm really want to give this
You're
a gonna shot.
You're going to give it another
me.
Shot?
I'm trying.
Keeping up appearances?
I like this thing where we have a dialogue with somebody that isn't here to
He's
to
seen
have
a few
back.
Episodes of Golden Girls. Not his thing.
Yeah. I'm just like, yeah.
I guess he likes
no,
the old broad would, version.
No,
by the way, Golden Girls took place way before Keeping
but
Up
But did you
appearance.
See what Did you hear what Anthony said? You could tell if you didn't have headphones, you would think by this conversation that Pat was on the other line to defend his position.
Well,
but
I'd call Pat, but he was so shy last week on the show. I don't want him bombing my fucking show. You know, at least Weirich brings the goods. You know, I call up Steve, and he brings the crazy. He brings the crazy, and that's all I want.
That's all
I'm asking
it's
for.
Air your dirty laundry.
Can we
I'm
call,
not asking for normal Tobias to be like,
All right, let's just call Ron.
A legitimate question? They all want to call Ron Zimmerman. Lee, how do you feel about that?
Oh, it's great. Hey, do you... Oh, great. You won't get a word in. It'll be like doing a show
Trust
with
me,
you.
I know that's your nightmare.
Yeah, right. Well, that's yours, too.
No,
yeah. And Matt, it's all of our nightmare.
No, I'm cool with it because I could take the next 30 minutes off.
Oh, God.
I'm all right with it. It's the Ron Zimmerman show.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'll make in the last 30 minutes every week the Ron Zimmerman show.
Okay.
That makes it a lot
is that,
easier
is
for
that,
me.
I just want him to give me the recipe for his back pain. Remember his recipe for his back pain?
Well, he's coming in February. He'll make his chili.
Okay.
I'll have Ron make his award-winning chili.
I'm spending the night
here. Award-winning, I mean, whatever magazine that is. Oh, you mean at Lenny's Condo?
Yeah.
So I go Lenny.
You can put Ron on at the end, and the interrogated party will crack finally.
I call
and
Lenny.
Confess.
I call Lenny yesterday. I go, Lenny, we need this condo, and we need it like yesterday. I'm dying. Okay? And it's going to take you a month and a half to close to 2 months. So
right now we're looking at
be irresponsible.
Always be closing.
Don't even go see these places and just put in bids.
Always be closing.
And he goes, oh, Matt, you've misjudged me. I've already not seen these places and put in bids. So, good news. We're on our way.
It's probably some roach-strewn David Fincher cabinet.
No, he's looking at all these places in the loop. I doubt it.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw this out here. I don't see you getting in there any earlier than...
February, right?
Late February.
Yeah, right. That's what I think, too.
Yeah, and we're not going to be busy that
right?
month, so that's
Anthony
a good month
and I talked about this last night.
To move in.
I think February, too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you're lucky, 45 days.
Yeah, if not March.
He doesn't listen, Kanata, right? He just doesn't listen?
You know,
he listens to the drummer in his head? Is that about it?
You know, if it makes... It's not like, you know, he is the one buying the condo.
Yeah, but he says he wants to buy it now. He doesn't understand it's going to take time.
No, he knows.
I don't think he
You
knows.
Can't be...
Lenny, listen,
we're
Matt,
making
Matt,
this movie.
Matt.
You can't be it's, crashing here. It's too fucked up.
Unless he has a party to go to with people he doesn't know, he's never in a hurry for anything.
Bingo. However, I think in his fucked up mind, in the fucked up Robert Kanata of law mind, I think in his mind, he thinks he's acting quickly. Like, I think Lenny... knows, like, when you say to his face, Lenny, you don't act quickly on everything, you're never in a hurry for anything, he goes, yeah, that's true. But I think in Lenny's mind, he's like...
I wonder if all politicians think that way.
Like how Lenny goes on the treadmill every day and he thinks he's accomplishing something, but he looks the exact same that he's looked for 10 years. I think in Lenny's mind, he goes on the treadmill every day and he's like, another pound gone, 1 pound a day, pound pound a day. 30 minutes on a speed of 2.5.
Right.
And a pound a day.
2.5.
And that's how he thinks. That's just Lenny's thought process on life.
Probably looks like running down the street carrying a ham.
Oh, that's a big ham.
But you like
well,
how
Lenny tells me what he does on the tread. Okay. He gets his iPad. He plays some television shows on his iPad, and he goes at a speed of about. Now, he said this to me like it was fast.
You can't see the TV if it's over 3 miles an hour.
He said this to, right. He said this to me like it was fast, and I kind of just went, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, three. Yeah, he goes at three. And he goes, you know, I do it for like 30 minutes a day, maybe an hour a day. And, you know, that's how you stay healthy. And I go,
you know.
I mean, you can't totally
glass,
shot him.
The ice comes out of the glass.
It's movement. It's exercise for an hour.
Do you do treadmill?
Is really going to lose any weight going at 3 miles per hour for an hour watching The Good Wife?
When I do the treadmill, my treadmill consists of 6 minutes. And it's 6 minutes on a speed of usually anywhere from 3 to 4, okay, somewhere in that range.
Uh-huh.
And the first minute I go flat. The second minute I go to highest grade possible. The third minute I go back to flat. Fourth minute I go back to the highest grade, and I continue to go back and forth.
So you do it for grades. You don't do it for distance, heart rate, and all that stuff.
No, it's about, you know, more of building a physique instead of solid-state cardio. So it's kind of like simulating sprinting and going, because the grade goes all up to a 30% gradient. It's pretty steep.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Steep grade for me, like a C+.
How's the job going, Lee, back at work? Good?
Good. Cutting the meat, all that. Coming
all
in.
Good?
Yeah.
Haircut looks good.
I know. Well, I had to fix one that the girl gave me on my way out of California. She was asking me all these questions.
And which
supercuts
which
in Studio supercuts? City, where I've always gotten a decent haircut.
Yeah, I thought you and Caesar are. I go to Floyd's Barbershop.
Okay, thank well, all right,
much.
That's fine.
I do pay $40 for a
$40,
haircut, but you know what?
Yeah,
worth every fucking
worth it because some hipster has to.
No, Gay Marvin. You know what Gay Marvin did? You know how he cuts my hair with a razor blade. You don't even use fucking scissors.
Really? Like Pony Boy.
Yep. He cuts my hair, I swear to God, every hair. Not even a trimmer, nothing.
That's weird.
Razor blade. That's, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he gives me a shave, and then he does a massage.
Well, I had to fix the haircut.
Not like that. He does a massage with the roller thing, the pin, the vibrator.
You know, I went to the original Floyd's. It started in Colorado, Denver.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Started in Denver, so I went
this
to.
This is probably true.
No, it's
go along with it.
No,
Luisi's acting like it's not true. I'm just saying it's probably true.
Well, Luisi, my friend of mine's a manager of Floyd's in Denver, and she goes, "You want to go to the original Floyd's and get a haircut?" Sure, I didn't know what the fuck Floyd's was until I went there. But yeah, anyway, it's a lot. They're nice places. It's a good concept. Really found a way to commercialize individuality, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember the haircut I had last week here? It was one I got before I left. And the girl left it long, like sticking out in the back, and short on the sides, and long on top. It looked like a mullet crossed with a mohawk, kind of.
Taking selfies during the show.
Oh, God. All right.
During the show.
We started talking about haircuts, and then he starts going, you know what?
You know what? I haven't seen myself in 4 seconds.
No.
You're not even busting this guy when you say stuff like
that. What? The look on your face right now, Anthony, you look like a confused squirrel.
He looks like that moose in the movie.
He does look like a moose.
But remember that movie Open Road or whatever?
Open Range.
Open Range. And remember the poster? It was like the
moose head?
That's Anthony.
He's got the look going of like Richard Dreyfuss and Jaws.
Yeah, what is up with that? You let the hair go crazy. Yeah. What is going on with you?
Are you auditioning for the role of Luigi?
He looks depressed, right? Yeah. Or Luigi. Yeah. Luigi.
Yeah. Are you going to wear some green tomorrow?
It's me.
Actually, you know what? You could be Mario. He could be Luigi.
By the way,
it could be great.
I'm never taking – Caesar makes a good point. Let's never take what's true advice from Luigi, who thought L.A. was shut down for 50 years. Caesar made a good point. Next time Alex wants to question the history on anything,
wait a minute,
is a guy who thought LA was shut down for 50 years.
Mikey, you think he should go as Mario and Giuliano as Luigi?
Yeah,
he can't because he's going to be Captain Lou Albano the sea monster for the 10th year in a row. Oh,
Captain Lou. So did we ever tell the story on this show about how he thought L.A. was shut down?
No, I remember talking about it, but I tried blocking it out of my memory. Yeah, it's probably for the best.
It's probably for the best.
He's having a kid.
He's having a kid.
Are you just like, did you just get done having sex or something?
No, that's why he's so jittery.
You look great, Andy.
See? And I'm
here. Because you look, your eyes look like they're about to fall out of your head. Like, did you like snort some crack or something?
You look great. I think you look fantastic.
No, I didn't say it looked bad. It just looks really fake.
Toupees? Good rugs? Oh, yeah, I don't know. You know what? Here's what my parents do. Let me explain to you my parents. They throw out everything, and then they complain about how broke they are. And then it's like, well, we should sell it. Make some money. And then they're like, yeah, I could have done that.
But if there's nothing, or how about if there's nothing wrong with it, you don't throw it away and buy a new one?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is.
Do they have animal hair on them? Is that why they're not?
No.
Where were they from?
And now tonight, the rug from Sarah and Steffi's room. And now tonight, I got to go to Jules and buy fucking garbage stickers, probably like $1,000 worth. And then I got to take out like 25 things to the garbage tonight, which is just lovely. And then I'll go to the gym again because I have no life.
Because you like it there.
I do like it. I do like it. No. Luisi can't block you from Facebook, Caesar. He's not on Facebook. We went over this. He's too big of a loser for Facebook. He's not into it.
Is he that concerned that Luisi
I didn't know if I... By the way, I didn't know if I respected you for getting off of Facebook more or thought that you were lame for getting off of Facebook more. I can't figure it out.
See, you should just do what I do and only use Facebook to shit on things people like.
That you only use Facebook for that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
That's funny.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Why are you off Facebook again? Okay, got it.
You know, right. We should all do this. We should have, like, a pact where for New Year's resolution, we don't do Facebook for, like, 30 days.
Caesar wants to know what your reasoning is.
Caesar, I have a life. That's why.
Oh, come on. Calm down.
No,
what do you... Okay.
Time
I need
out.
A big fat timeout here.
Okay.
I heard a rumor through the gossip mill. You got four jobs.
I got four jobs?
It's what I hear. I hear you got four jobs.
Yeah, I got apartment buildings. I work for a safety company.
Hey, speak into the microphone.
Yeah, they're dicks.
Okay, you got apartment buildings. Oh, there's now five jobs? There's five jobs?
Yeah, I think I can't.
And five jobs?
What did I tell you? Andy?
You got five jobs? I love how Alex is like, what did I tell you, Anthony? What jobs do I have?
Why is he being so defensive? I'm not being defensive about it.
No, he's not being defensive. He's asking Anthony because he doesn't remember the bullshit he told him. How many? What jobs did I tell you I have? What five jobs were these? Oh, that is the safety job. There's one in the same. Some days it's construction. Some days it's safety. It depends on which day you talk to them. Okay, but that's a real job. It's a real thing. That's the one he goes to from like 9 to 5 every day in Downers. Okay.
Yeah.
So you got your construction / safety job, which is really a quite the conundrum of a job title. Okay. And then you got an apartment gig.
Yeah.
All right. That's two jobs. I'm waiting for three and four.
It was something. I can't.
You're producing the movie.
Oh, yeah. Producer.
What work have you done on that so far, by the way, if you could fill me in?
If you'd ever return my call or email.
Oh, here we go. I talk to, to
I'm
Mikey.
Trying to set
I
some,
talk to Mikey every day.
I'm trying to set
yep.
up.
So how am I missing phone calls we do when I talk to him in Kanata every
no
day?
Dates. I got to get dates for everything.
Talk to Pat Wimp. He's coming up with the dates.
All right.
I talk to him every day. How does he get a hold of me, not you? And trust me, he works his ass off to get a hold of me because most of the time my phone's in the basement where I get no signal or I'm at the gym.
So executive producer, co-producer of Dine Dash, does that count?
I guess. You're not really working on it anymore. I mean, that's kind of like if you worked at Circuit City 7 years ago.
Moral
you could put it on the resume, but, I mean, I wouldn't call it a current job. Just say it. I wouldn't go out on a limb and put that one up.
You know, Steve is really pissed because I'm taking all the jobs from him.
Well, if Steve had 2,000 clams, he could have invested in numerous projects. But Steve's busy trying to get $9 at the moment. So I don't think Steve's going to be doing any projects at that time.
I help with Bocce Pizzeria quite a bit.
It's like 4.5.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now you got Mike. Mikey's had enough. He's had enough. He's
when
snapping.
The hell? When was the last time you stepped a foot inside a Bocce's?
I'm always down at Taylor Street.
Hanging out? What work do you do there? You go down there to see G, and you hang out, and you eat a slice.
Wait. Taylor Street Bocce's is the one in Little Italy.
Yes.
What the hell do you do down there? You work in Downers Grove.
Because he's friends with people down there. He goes down there once every two weeks and says, how do you do?
My girlfriend used to live at the...
used to.
State in Roosevelt.
Used to,
right.
But now she's in baby-making land. She don't live at no state.
Well, my point is you work in Downers Grove.
I'm a Bocce consultant.
Jesus.
Because you ran one for 6 months?
Wait. Time out, Mikey. You get a paycheck that at the bottom of it, under memo, says Bocce consultant. Correct?
Not quite
Bocce consultant. Can I also tell the listeners on my show that Alex suggested that every day for catering on a 16-day shoot for a film, he wanted to have Bocce pizza?
Well, we can order other stuff from our food company.
What else does Bocce make other than pie?
No, we can order anything from our food
company. Bad pie, by the way.
You didn't say a food company. You said I was going to be eating cardboard with ketchup on it and processed pepperoni for the next, 16 days is what you said.
Bocce is terrible pizza.
It's the worst.
It's good for college kids.
No Cassano.
No, take it easy.
All right. Just ask anyone at this table. It's no Cassano's. Mikey will even tell you Cassano's is good.
It is good.
It's no
Cassano's is pretty good.
It's no Cassano's. Oh, now you're saying Cassano's is good. When did you cave in and eat Cassano's? Oh, yeah. He's probably friends with the people at Cassano's now, just in case they start a franchise. He could be a Cassano's consultant.
Yeah.
You know, they actually make their own recipes there, though, and, make their own food there.
Did we buy the dough from China or something?
It wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't shock me one bit either. Wait. Let me look around here, though. We have four other people, Mikey, Louie, Anthony, myself. Any of the four of us like Bocce's? Anthony with a big fat no. Lee, Bocce's? No. Mikey, Bocce's?
I can't say no in enough languages.
Emphatically no. I think I'm actually the only one that can handle Bocce's. It's only when I put a pound of ranch dressing on the slice.
Well, it's not only that. You know what? I can handle I can handle Bocce's after about 10 beers.
Right. That's what Lee was just saying. Okay. All right. It's perfect for 10 beers. That's
there
why there's one in Wrigleyville, one in Taylor.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. The Wrigleyville one does really well, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's actually where I made my first pizza.
Is it still open, that Wrigleyville one?
Yep.
It does real well because it's literally right under Wrigleyville.
It's right when you get off on
red line.
It's right there.
Yeah, it's got that Demon Dogs location where Demon Dogs was decent to good, but it wasn't great, but the location killed.
Where
so
at?
They made a shitload of money. Well, Demon Dogs used to be under the brown line of... DePaul.
It's quick, huh?
Okay, yeah. I know Robert. It's
owned by the manager of the band Chicago.
Right, and Demon Dogs wasn't that far from, what's the bar around the corner?
No, it's on Fullerton, and it was right by the Spread.
There we go.
It was around
right,
the corner,
right.
Which is now an Italian...
Bar Forza.
Yeah, Bar Forza. It's now an Italian...
We need to go back
couple.
There.
I told Lenny that the other day.
No, not only that, but did you see the requirements for, the dress code?
I'm convinced. I told Lenny I'm convinced it was someone that really liked us at the Spread.
It's me and Lenny,
remembers us from the Spread.
Legacy of the Sweat Hog.
I'm opening Good Bar back up again.
That's a terrible idea.
First of all, you don't even own rights to Good Bar. You're not going to open it up
again. I'll just take
it.
Who's going
to
stop me?
Probably the people that went broke have a Good Bar.
Are you younger than us?
He is younger than us.
No, I mean like...
Oh, you mean like...
A generation.
You mean like in gay years where you were 28, but he's really 15? Yeah, you kind of could be in gay years.
I feel like he's a little bit more of a millennial than some of us.
Oh, for sure.
You guys need to take it easy.
For sure. I was working with millennials the other day. I was thinking, no one's saying you don't work hard. You work hard for a millennial. That's Anthony makes a good point. You need to have a career.
No. Dude, with the.
I really like. I would really like to get Anthony mic'd up right now.
No.
Consultant.
Hey, go ahead,
I'm
Anthony.
A steak and shake consultant. I once told them I like the mint chocolate chip shakes better than the Oreos. That's consulting, apparently. But, and yeah.
That's true.
I'll hand this off to Anthony before we get interrupted by the world.
He's a steak and shake consultant, too. He told them about the Frisco Melt
right,
there two weeks ago.
He said it was good.
He goes, you know, these used to be bigger. Where's my check?
I'm gonna hand this off to Anthony before we get interrupted again by the last landline in existence.
No, I mean like.
I'm talking to the microphone, Anthony. Into the beard.
Into the beard.
Yeah. Just sneak it through some of the. Now you could use a trim too. What is going on? And that is a trim. So, he actually styled that. That doesn't look bad, but you just look like a lumberjack.
Well, actually, no, it's just water today. But my
you and Lee look very Wisconsin.
Oh, don't say that.
You
That's
look
not
very nice. Green Bay. And I'm not on Kenosha. I like Green Bay. All right. Well, that's Paul Bunyan.
What do you? You mean the smell of beer and not showering?
Yeah, that's the look. That's the Green Bay look.
Beer, I'm not showering.
Yeah, that's right.
So my stylist got pregnant, and
time out. All right, restart that sentence. Your stylist got pregnant.
Well, yeah, I mean, what
else? All right.
Is her name Megan?
Yeah. No, it's my cousin Renee. She.
Renee. Okay.
Yeah. Oh wait. Since you can go anywhere else to get a haircut?
No. I mean, she doesn't.
Why don't you go see my friend's dad, Gino DeFranco, downtown?
So you're literally going to wait 9 months to get that haircut?
She had the kid a couple months ago, but she, like, took time off. She just got back and then got a plan.
She can't give her cousin a fucking haircut?
Well, then she bought a house out in the sticks. Like,
she can't do a house call?
So you can't find somebody else to go see?
Wait. She has a house 2 hours away. How are you ever going to get a haircut again?
I got to time it up when she's in Naperville and I'm close to Naperville.
Go find a new stylist.
You're done for. That's the worst.
By the way, why do you even have a stylist? I haven't seen any style in your head ever.
Mikey, that's the worst plan I ever heard, though. Well, she's 2 hours away. I'm going to wait for her to be in the neighborhood when I'm in the neighborhood. And by the way, not even the same neighborhood. Not even like one of their neighborhoods. It's Naperville.
Well, let's hope it's close because you're 3 weeks away from looking like Jesus. Okay?
Yeah, you are getting real close to the Jesus.
It's the holiday season.
That's good. All right, he's going to wait for Renee to travel an hour and a half to Naperville because she wants to go to Rizzo some night or something.
No,
I don't know.
That's where her salon is.
She's still going to work there when she lives 2 hours away?
No, it's not. It's 2 hours away from like where I'm at working. I mean,
Northbrook.
Yeah, so.
Where's she at? Where in the sticks?
I don't remember.
Joliet?
It's at like Yorkville.
Yorkville, Oswego, Montgomery.
I don't remember the exact town.
Further than Yorkville?
A little bit further.
Driving to downtown Naperville to do work.
That's about a half hour drive. It's not that bad.
These are the
rush hour. Rush hour's bad.
How many stylists do you know that work like rush hour peak hour?
Does she work rush hour peak hours?
I don't know what those are. What do you mean?
Rush hour. She
works that.
Ask the guy with four jobs when rush hour.
So how often does she work? Like once a month?
No, she works she works 5 to 6 days a week.
She works 5 to 6 days a week, and you haven't been able to find one time to get over there in the last, like month?
She just started back up after her pregnancy.
He's busy. He's at Allstate.
What's the name of her salon?
It's awesome. It's Curl Up and Die.
That's not as good as Great Head on Belmont over in Chicago.
Does she want another baby?
I don't know. You have to ask her.
Great Head may be my favorite, salon name ever. I don't know if I'd ever go there because of, the area. But it's my favorite salon name.
Who's giving head over there?
Well, I don't know.
Not women.
Yeah, no. No, I don't even. That's the thing, too. You think you'd walk in there and it's cool. It's called Great Head. You know no women work at a place called Great Head. It's all dudes, right? it's all dudes there, though, right? Great Head.
Yes.
Would you let your wife work at Great Head, Mikey? When there's a million other hair salons.
No, you know what? I'm not
city.
Even going to try to be gentrified about
this. Don't be.
The answer's fucking no.
Yeah, right. Because you really want to introduce your wife to guys and be like, oh, hey, business partner I'm working with. This is my wife. She does hair. And then they're like, oh, yeah, where do you do hair at?
Great head.
Great head. Oh, you give great head, huh? Ah! And then you got to listen to that 5,000 times. You're going to have 5,000 Peter Griffins loving how your wife works at great
yeah,
head.
No. The answer is no.
Yeah, that would never happen. I don't know.
You're not on Facebook.
Caesar's not upset that you're not his friend on Facebook. You're not on Facebook. Do you still stalk people on Facebook, though? You only,
why? It's
you
so much fun.
You can stalk people even if you don't have an account. And by the way, your account's frozen, pal. It's not deleted. I can. Yeah, exactly. So you don't stalk people on Facebook?
That's
you believe
a lie.
It gets
I don't
bad.
Want to lie.
Better,
I don't believe him either.
Better to do it live.
I don't believe him either. Is Rick still on Facebook? He's a real man.
Real men stalk on Facebook.
Yeah, we don't even got 10 minutes. I can wrap up.
Let's do it.
Want.
Then let's do it now.
We're out of shit.
Yeah. No, we're never out of shit. No. I can shit all night. Trust me. I got nothing but shit. It'll just get more and more offensive as the night goes. How funny was Steve, though, when he went off about his fucking... What would
great.
He say? Fucking Fargets?
Yeah.
Froggets?
Fargets. Like Vargan? Johnny Dangerous?
Yeah,
right. Vargan Ice Holes?
Vargan Ice Holes. Yeah. Yeah, that's what Steve said, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't something else.
You know what, too? I don't think Steve had one drink in him when he was going off.
No.
That was like sober Steve.
No,
you know,
he sounded great.
let me ask you a question. I don't know if anybody here knows anything about AA, but according to AA...
Yeah. I can help you with this one.
What do they consider, like, at what point do they consider you an alcoholic?
Yeah, this is the thing. It's
you go.
They consider anyone that really has a drink an alcoholic. They'll find a reason to say you're an alcoholic.
Right.
My opinion on it is if it is deterring you from living the life you want to live, then you may be an alcoholic.
So basically, your interpretation of it is, like, if you make a decision like, hey, I'd really like to go to the movies, but I want to stay home and drink because I want to drink.
Right.
You're not an alcoholic.
Then you possibly have an alcohol problem. Now, there's other factors that go into that. Who's going to the movies?
No, but
people,
I mean, like...
Is it a good movie? But if, let's say, it's American Hustle and you're hanging out with some great studs like myself and Len... And you decide to stay home and have a drink? Yeah, you're an alcoholic.
Like stay home by myself and just like crack open a bottle of Johnny and put it down.
Absolutely.
But if that's what you want to do, then you're not an alcoholic. It sounds like by their criteria.
A possible alcoholic defendant. Okay. No, right. No. But that's true. AA basically in AA, I think their definition of alcoholism is not everyone that has a drink is an alcoholic, but if you need a drink. You're an alcoholic.
I always need a drink. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. But I drink beer in the shower, though.
Listen, I've met...
So much that it turns into a
part
bath.
Part of the reason I don't go to AA anymore is... I'm not going to say it's bullshit. It helps out a lot of people. Some for the rest of their lives, some for a short period of time, unfortunately. But it helps out a lot of people. I'm not going to deny that. I stopped going because the line was getting really blurred of what makes an alcoholic. And I kind of decided I'm not an alcoholic. It took me like a year to figure this out, of going to meetings every day and going on. I mean, we knew. I was going like 2-3 times a week. And like,
well,
man, I don't want to name any names because most of them are celebrities at these things. But you're like looking across the room and you're like, who's someone dead that, you know, you look across the room, you're like, Robert Kennedy. He's really fucked up, but, I'm not that bad.
Yeah, right.
I didn't. You hear all these stories where they're like, "I needed a drink so bad, or else I was gonna go in the." And then I had a drink, and then I went in the car, and I was gonna blow my brains out. I'm like, "This is the fourth time you've told that story in a month." Oh, they're all different stories. You're kind of fucked up. I'm not that fucked up. I just liked having wine, and it just deterred me from working.
Right.
I didn't go out and like want to like stab myself.
No, but like the amount of AA you were going to, it seemed like you had a serious problem. I just remember you slug on an entire bottle of wine at night.
There was a point in time where I did. I think it had to do with a lot of...
maybe that was before I knew you, but...
No. I had problems for like 7 years.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I was drunk and on drugs for like seven years.
Right, so there was that, but...
So that was at the tail end of that.
Right.
I was weaning off the drugs at the time. I was doing like a bottle a day.
Well...
And I think that kind of like was evening it out.
Well, plus the cultish nature of the meeting you were going to. I won't get into detail about it.
I gotta tell you,
pretty
something.
Off-putting. Pretty off-putting.
I will say, yeah, they're kind of cultish. I will say, in other parts of the country, like here, they're less cultish, but they're people aren't as sincere about helping you.
Right.
There's a cult mentality in L.A. and in New York at these meetings. That kind of lends itself to actually getting real support.
Right.
Back here, people support you during the meeting and then after the meeting. If you don't have a sponsor, you probably don't have a friend meeting.
Why does it seem like self-betterment is not possible unless you're part of a cult?
Well, I feel like I'm doing it without it. That's what I feel like I'm doing. It's made me think about
you're
that.
You're doing great.
Yeah, it made me think about that. It made me think, because this last year I've done it without anybody. Like, without going to a meeting and without a sponsor and without... I mean, I hate
to
even say
us.
It because
I mean,
I like... No, but I'm talking about AA. We're talking about the process AA.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't got to talk to you guys really about drinking.
No.
I never come to you and go, I really need to fucking drink. Except Mikey came to you like a week ago because of...
what happened?
It was the first time in a long time. But I can't really talk about it on the show because I ended up doing it. But...
Oh,
but
yeah!
I went to Mikey and I'm like, there are certain things that, like, I think part of it, too, is I've grown up and I'm more mature, and there's certain things that you could, sticks and stones hurt my bones, so I don't give a fuck, but you could still strike certain chords with me that probably will piss me off that much. There's only a few, and I couldn't even tell you what the triggers are, but one of my triggers was stuck last week, and it was basically about people outside of Chicago's point of view of Chicagoans. And for whatever reason, I found it really offensive, and it really hit home for me, and I got really angry.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was through the roof. So, I mean, it's not a big deal. You know, I got over it. It's not a big deal. For whatever reason, that was one of the triggers. It's probably never going to be a trigger again.
Yeah.
I got over it.
Well, I'm a firm believer that AA is not ineffective, but it's no more effective than most other forms of treatment, including no treatment.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of numbers to that effect.
I agree with you. Here's the thing. Here's the one thing where I could defend it. I see people who have been in AA for like 30 years and not had a drink. And I believe that they haven't had a drink.
Of course.
97% or so of people that go to rehab,
like that,
they fail. 90, it's like that high of a number.
Yeah.
I've seen more people succeed with AA. Now, that being said...
I wish they didn't try to push God on you, though.
Yeah, I kind of don't like that either.
It's not cool.
I don't think it's cool, but
you
it
can
goes
do it
all
if
the
you
way
want
back to.
To
the creation of
you
it.
You have that available.
But it's part of that mentality you're talking about.
Same thing.
Where Bill W. came up with it.
Right.
God in mind.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of were like, well, Bill said we have to.
Yeah.
So they've all kept it that way. Now, I do know there are AA meetings where they're a little less religious. But they don't really consider themselves part of AA. Because the only way you're going to get funding for your AA program, if you get funding or if you need to rent a place or whatever,
is if you
follow those
steps.
Yeah, yeah, you got to be a part of the manual.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a show next week because it's Christmas-ish, right? I mean,
Christmas is Wednesday.
Are we going to have a show?
And then next Wednesday?
Is New Year's.
Is New Year's.
That's right.
So we probably won't have shows for 2 weeks.
You been good this year, Mikey?
Thank fucking God.
Absolutely.
No, I don't want to change.
So have I.
Giuliano, stop with the ideas.
I didn't get any hookers this year.
Giuliano's got these ideas to like make us work more. I don't need any more.
What are we going to be doing? What does he want us to do?
He wanted to change the dates and do more shows.
Oh, well.
Wait. Pat says we might have a show. He's waiting to hear.
Wow.
So we'll see. I want to thank Zoe Bell. Raises the film. She is hot and New Zealand-ish. What do they call those broads from New Zealand?
Kiwis.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
That's the short
Is it because
really?
Now here's a question. Here's a trivia.
New Zealanders isn't like a thing.
No, New Zealanders are called Kiwis.
Is it because there's Kiwi birds there, or is it because they grow Kiwi there?
Because they grow Kiwis. Or it could be both. You just don't get them confused with Australians and Aussies. They're as different as Americans and Canadians. They don't like being confused together. I didn't know that. I thought Lucy Lawless was Australian and not New Zealand.
No.
No.
New
Big
Zealand.
Mistake.
Yeah, and that's, I guess you can't, like, confuse those two.
You know what? Interesting study. If you, it's too late.
That's all right. We'll talk about it never again. Okay.
It's okay. I had the last
Merry
word.
Merry Christmas, everybody, because that's the only holiday that matters. Goodbye.
Yes.